This is the WBFO Press Pass. I'm Mark Scott, joined this week by Elizabeth Licata, editor of Buffalo Spree.
Welcome. Hi, Mark.
Hey, great to see you.
Thanks for having me on.
When you think of warehouses, you think of big block buildings constructed over the past 50 or 60 years, and there's really nothing distinguishing about them. But there are a handful of old warehouses in Buffalo from more than a century ago that are architecturally significant. One of them is at 885 Niagara Street. And in this month's Buffalo Spree, Elizabeth writes about this landmark in her Preservation Ready column. Describe what it's like.
Well, it's a beautiful big building, and I guess you have to remember that back in the late 19th century, even early 20th century, even utilitarian buildings where just, you know, you needed to make something or store something were built to certain kind of architectural specifications. They had details. They were beautiful. They were built out of beautiful materials. They emulated certain architectural styles that mansions would emulate, like classical revival or Romanesque and so on. I think actually this building combines both of them in some ways. Although it's technically known as a classical revival building, so it's got those columns.
And the Medina sandstone?
The Medina sandstone below, which we see in so many of our churches and other monumental buildings in Buffalo, including the one we talked about last time, and then brick above. And it was built for the milk company.
It was the Buffalo Milk Company.
Right.
And you did some research into this building, and you saw some press clippings.
Yeah.
And what did you find out about
it
this company?
It was interesting. There was quite a controversy then, as to a certain degree there is now, about the pasteurization of milk. And this was relatively new. I mean, it had come about in the early 19th century, but it took a long time for pasteurizing milk to become universally popular and used. And there were certain farmers that were still against it. Some were for it, some were against it. So there were articles in the Buffalo News about why this was good, and also the cleanliness, which was totally necessary, of the inside of this factory where milk was processed and pasteurized and put into bottles. And milk was essential product. It was necessary for life. And so it was a very important thing.
Yeah. Like many of the landmarks you feature each month, this one had a variety of owners until, once again, it fell into
yes,
the city's hands yes, in 2006.
Yes, yes. Well, there were various manufacturers and warehouse uses. And then eventually in the 90s, it was the architectural warehouse. I don't know if you were ever in there. It was not one that I ever went to. But there was a couple other big architectural remnant places, different from antique places. You've got your Gothic City down there in Niagara. And Horse Feathers, which is now going to be apartments and a market over there on, I think on either Connecticut or Grant down there on the west side. But this architectural circus had a lot of that kind of stuff. You'd find moldings, you'd find a lot of big things like fountains and so on that you wouldn't really see maybe in a small antique store. But it, someone didn't pay their taxes, and that's how these buildings eventually fall into the hands of the city of Buffalo. And then it was purchased.
In 2007 by artist Brian Lohr, and he had some great intentions for the building,
yes,
but they haven't really worked out.
No, and he had a lot of great ideas. He was going to have artist studios in there and all kinds, and he was going to do his work in there. But the building, just to get the building into shape so that he could do all these wonderful things, It's way more. He would have to devote his entire life to it, and he'd have to stop all of the things that he's doing now in his career. And I can't really blame him. You know, these buildings, I think sometimes people are very idealistic when they look at them and decide to save them. That being said, I think it would be great if this building could be reused. This is exactly the kind of building that I feel offers so much potential because it's so big. 40,000 square feet, I think, is what it has. And so when you reuse a building that size, it takes up almost a whole block, it's something that makes a big impact on the neighborhood, and that's what we want to see. It's one thing to bring back a small house or something like that, and that's great. That's great for that owner, and that's great on that block, but a lot more has to happen there before, you know, the the neighborhood is completely transformed. But just like as we were talking last time about 918 Main Street, 918 Main Street being redeveloped is a big step for that block of Main Street. This building on Niagara Street would be a big step for this part of Niagara Street, for this part of the West Side.
Is it at risk of being demolished, or is that off the
table? I don't think so. I have not heard that that's on the table. I believe that some structural work, some work on the roof, I don't think there's a big problem. I mean, I think one of its main problems, I mean, as you can see from the pictures, the thing looks pretty solid. I think his, and it's because it's been used. You know, it's been in use. I think his main problem is all the stuff that was left behind from Architectural Circus. He was trying to sell some of it on the website. I saw that. Just tons of stuff left over.
Yeah.
That was just left there.
Yeah. So as you said, you're looking for the, well, not you, but the local community is looking for the right buyer who can be creative to do something with this.
It's in the hands of Nothnagel Realty. And, you know, that's one of the purposes of this column is like we sort of help draw attention to these really kind of iconic buildings for whatever reason that they stand out. Sometimes it's symbolic as like a house that, you know, has been empty, but a home, you know, someone could move in and bring that house to life again, or a big building like this. And we're just helping raise that awareness because it's something that helps our city. It's not just preservation for preservation's sake. It's something that is sustainable. It's reuse. And it has an economic, puts these buildings back on the tax rolls.
When we chatted last month, you were preparing to attend the Preservation Plus conference in Buffalo. You toured the Richardson Complex, and you found out that some serious progress has been made.
I couldn't believe it. I've been there before. Actually, my great aunt was a patient there, and I was there in the 60s. I visited her as a child. I have very vague memories of that. And then I visited back in, I think, around 2000 when Sam Hoyt was bidding to sponsor some sort of awareness-raising tours, and it was a mess. There was just stuff laying all over the place, and it was kind of dark and scary. But now, I mean, I know there's a long way to go, but the wood is all, the whole lower level that I saw, the wood is all shined up, the floors are done, the walls are done, the fireplaces are done, the woodwork is done. There's detailing, there's interpretive signage all over the place, there's it's beautiful. It's amazing. The staircase is gorgeous. And this is all restoration of what was there. So it really shows you the potential of this building. And I know a lot of people in my time, is, and I'm sure that you've heard, that nothing will ever be done with that building. Well, that's not true.
And is there an announcement coming soon?
Yes, I think they're going to announce soon the developers who are going to do the hotel and maybe the conference center. And there's also going to be a museum there. So there's going to be several uses for that very big complex there. So it's very exciting, and we're waiting to hear.
What else came out of the conference of a note that you would like to share?
Well, I wish I had seen more of it, to be honest. I mean, I have to work, so I wasn't able to go to some of the daytime programming where they had some very interesting discussions about how, as I was saying before, preservation is not just about preserving a building so that it's nice and everyone feels good about it. It's also about economics, making that building a player in the economy of Buffalo again, you know, jobs, apartments, bringing people back into the city. But it can also be about green, you know, making, you know, old buildings can be green just like new buildings can. So there's a lot of this. The Preservation Plus conference that I mentioned last time I was on was about bringing in all these other things about we know that preservation of architecturally significant buildings can bring tourists. We saw that with the National Trust Conference. But the Preservation Plus Conference talked about all the other ways in which preserving buildings is just part of everything that we're doing to make Buffalo better, to grow Buffalo back again.
I was struck when I told you before the show that I visited Poland in the past week, and I was struck coming out of the restaurant our last night on Sunday night, and I just drank in the square in Krakow because it's unlike anything you see in this country. I mean, we have wonderful architecture here in Buffalo, but in these European cities, it is really amazing. And so it shows you how important architecture is and how beautiful, cities around the world are.
Well, and look how long that's been there, Mark. And, you know, there's many times, I'm sure, during the past 100, 200 years that someone said, oh, I'd rather, you know, I have an idea. I want to put a skyscraper or whatever. I want to tear that down. And I'm sure that there's been preservation fights, or maybe not. Maybe they realize it's just kind of dumb to tear down your heritage. Yeah. And it's there for you, and they're making a lot of money from you going over there.
Well, Elizabeth, thank you as always for coming in.
Thank you, Mark. It's been great talking to you.
Elizabeth Licata is editor of Buffalo Spree. Mark Scott, WBFO News.